Did you say you were going to start?
I thought you were.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Push My Buttons Podcast. Wow, podcast. I'm not feeling super great. I'm working through a hangover, so I'm not drinking tonight. It's also giving me like a really nasally sound, and I am doing okay. I am joined here with my other wonderful, miraculous host.
Hey everyone, this is Captain Platinum, and that's Dungeon Master Mike, since he didn't want to introduce himself.
That's right, sorry. I'm not on top of my game today. Yeah. I went, so yesterday was a birthday party for a neighbor of mine. And we just went over to a bar, drank, and then danced on the dance floor with a bunch of her friends. She went to Penn State, and it turns out she's really, really good friends with a high school buddy of mine. And it was a total chance. It was like small world happenstance that I knew her, and then my friend from high school knew her. So I was able to reconnect with a high school friend that I haven't seen in like 15 years last night. So that was pretty cool. That's why I got to the point where vodka and soda just started tasting like carbonated water. So I was pretty bad. So no drinking tonight. In fact, actually the only drinking I will be doing is water. I'm going to need to take a swig. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Stay hydrated, man. You gotta stay. You need some of that high quality H2O.
Uh-huh. But yeah, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. I've actually been to Penn State. It's a pretty cool university.
Yeah, it's pretty prestigious for a local state school. It competes with Ivy Leagues and everything. So
yeah, I got a buddy that lives in State College now, an old roommate, and he works there on site on campus. So
okay.
Went and saw him there a while ago. So, yeah. No, and I get what you mean, man, with the college stuff. My sister texted me one day, and she's like, do you know the guy named by this name? And I'm like, how do you know this person? Because she's in North Carolina. I'm out here in Utah. And college is where I met this guy, and that's in New York, where we went to school. And she's like, oh, yeah, he's at my house. Where your like Christmas card's on the fridge. And he's like, you know that guy? And she's like, that's my brother. It's just like small world sometimes how that can all happen. No, man, it's been pretty good. We've actually gotten a little bit of rain here in Salt Lake. We are in a massive drought. So there's been a little bit of rain this week, which is nice. And it's not triple-digit temperatures every day. So I've been digging that.
Okay.
But yeah, I played some games this week. We'll talk about that a little bit later. And then, yeah, just gearing up for the 4th this weekend, which I probably just going to play some more games.
Nice.
But yeah, what story do you want to talk about first tonight?
Well, let's just start off on something light. Did you know, No More Heroes, you know, number 3 is
coming out soon.
It's coming out. So Suda51 this week decided he was going to tweet an image of Travis Touchdown. You know the story about Travis Touchdown's design, right? He was, when the first No More Heroes came out, he was designed to look like Johnny Knoxville.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yep.
And I guess the second game, he still looks kind of like Johnny Knoxville. But they released, I guess, kind of like an in-between game a couple of years ago, and now they have a new No More Heroes that's in development, and people have seen Travis Touchdown, and he's looking less and less like Johnny Knoxville and more like a badass. So
yeah. I was going to say, this doesn't look like Johnny Knoxville in this picture you sent me. So.
Oh, yeah. So he's wearing a black hoodie. He's got black fingerless gloves, which fingerless gloves aren't exactly badass, but okay, whatever. He's got black hair, and he's got a black lightsaber. You can barely see it. Mm-hmm. But on his black hoodie, in giant red bold words says, "Fuck racism." And everyone's just like, yeah! Which is interesting because No More Heroes was made with the intention of putting in a ton of cultural taboos and stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get into what those are, but like the first game has the final boss and then a secret final boss.
Okay.
But the first final boss, it's this girl, and she says, "All right, I'm about to give you an exposition dump about my backstory, but it's a little bit too much for a children's game, so we're going to fast forward it. If you want to hear me, slow down." And then the game proceeds to just be like she just fast forwards through it, and then she's like, "That's my backstory." But of course, people recorded it, they put it on YouTube, and they slow it down. And it's like a brutal Game of Thrones style story.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, so like they've always, Suda51 has always put in kind of like iffy stuff. I'm really, really happy he puts in "fuck racism" right on the main character's chest. And I hope that's for the duration of the game. But yeah, so it's right there in bold print, and he couldn't have made anybody happier.
Yeah, so, looks like a lot of people are excited about that.
Yeah, yeah. That was on June 29th, 2021. Also, before I go a little bit further, I was going to share a story this week about an instance where I ended up getting someone fired for plagiarism. I'm just letting everyone know because we don't have enough hosts today. So I was going to save the story until we had like at least one other person to kind of, you know, discuss kind of the implications of the story and what's happened and things like that. So this is, you listeners, anticipate a really good story next week. And let's get Luke and Panda Pat on so I can get their input and everything. That story is coming up next week.
All that. I'm looking forward to hearing it. Yeah, because you're waiting to share it with us all here. So
And I actually got I emailed the guy who was plagiarized, and we've had a little bit of a going back and forth. And my purpose was to make sure I had his permission to talk about the story, because he since released a video talking about how stressful this whole thing was, and I was like, you know what, I don't want to cause him any more undue stress. So I got his contact information, emailed him, and I was like, "Hey, I was the guy that was blank, 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 and blank, blank, blank. I want to make sure it's okay with you that I share your story. And if there are any details that you want me to retract, please let me know." And he's like, 100%, I'm giving you the go. So I can share all the details. I'll share all the tweets and everything that's happened next week. But really what it comes down to, because we're part of the GNN, you know, the network.
Yep.
It's just kind of, it really jumps into the fact that like smaller creators can get screwed by larger publications. And we're one of those smaller creators. So just kind of like as a heads up message for when I eventually share this story, you got to protect your shit. Because yeah, and we are kind of in that category of being a smaller creator. So that's kind of a, just as a heads up for our fellow podcasts out there in the Utah Valley, protect your shit. And I'll share the story next week. But yeah, it's definitely video game related and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely looking forward to hearing about it, man. Mm-hmm.
So what has hit on your news radar this week?
I'll take this one because I still haven't played this game and it's on my list because I did start Horizon Zero Dawn and I have put off playing Ghost of Tsushima, but it was announced that there's a director's cut of this game coming on August 20th, so in a month and a half.
I guess that's when you're starting.
Well, so the cool thing they're saying, though, is it's coming out on PS4 and PS5, and they've got the the details here of what all is included on PS5, which is, you know, the dynamic 4K resolution, targeting 60 frames per second, 3D audio, Japanese lip sync, which totally is for you, man.
Yeah.
The haptic feedback and the adaptive triggers. So, and again, you're not really getting screwed on this, and this is something I like, is they have the price out for it, because it's going to launch, and it'll be the current going rate of PS5 games, which is $70 in the US and $60 on the PS4 in US dollars. But if you already own versions of this game, you can just do the upgrade, which I think is pretty cool. So they're saying you can also transfer the PS4 save up to the PS5 if you already have one going. So if you already own Ghost of Tsushima on PS4, you can upgrade for $20 US, and that'll be available starting on August 20th.
$70, that's so expensive. Holy crap.
Yeah, and that's what the PS5 controllers are going for too. So it's, I mean, 60 is expensive as well, but yeah, $10 more, and that's what a lot of the first party PS5 games are going for now.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I think Godfall was that, but it's probably dropped now. I think I did see Godfall did drop in price now that it's been out for 6 months. I think that's now 50, if I remember right. Again, don't quote me. I'm just trying to remember what I've seen. But yeah, you can also upgrade from Ghost of Tsushima on the PS4 to the Director's Cut on PS5 for $30. So there's that gap there to fix that, which, yeah, it's a little steep. But if it's something you're interested in, and this is going to have also, it's some DLC, right? It's the Island of Iki? Is that how you would say it?
I have no idea. I started it again in New Game Plus because I was going to play with Blair and do that online mode, which is pretty awesome.
Mm.
But... you know, it's very, very rare for me to go back and replay games, even for like DLC and stuff. So I don't know if I'm going to revisit it, but it is definitely worth a playthrough.
And for someone like me, there is new trophies to unlock. This says the Director's Cut will offer new trophies to unlock. So it says they can confirm that beyond a whole new story and new characters, the new island also features a ton of new content, which includes brand new environments to explore, new armor for Jin and his horse, new mini games, new techniques, new enemy types, and more. And for Luke, even new animals to pet. So.
Well, so, you can't actually pet the animal. Well, okay, hold on a second. There are enemy dogs that you are forced to kill.
Mm.
And lots of people hate that. But for the New Game Plus, you can pet those dogs and they become your friends. And then they'll help fight other people for you. But you still have to beat the game once in order to get it. So hopefully there'll be like more varieties of dogs. I don't know. More animals you can pet that fight for you. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, so it looks like there's plenty of other in-game items and stuff too. So it says pre-orders are up and you can do that now. And one of the other cool things they said, too, is if you do the PS5 one, you can download the Ghost of Tsushima PS4 version immediately. So if you're one of the lucky people that has a PS5 and you want this, you can get you can pre-order the Director's Cut, and then they'll let you download the PS4 version starting today. So when you pre-order it. So that's pretty cool.
Nice, nice.
But yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. It's a game a lot of people have praised and told me I need to play, and it's in the queue.
Cool. Awesome. Hey, you know Final Fantasy VI, my favorite Final Fantasy entry.
Mm-hmm.
That's already on Steam. You're aware of that, right?
Yep.
Are you aware that it's god-awful as far as like the visuals?
I've heard. I have not seen for myself, but I have heard.
Oh, man. If you're at your computer, I mean, you obviously are, but if you're able to open up Steam and just go to the store and type in Final Fantasy VI. And this is not the Pixel remaster. This was like the Android port. Because Final Fantasy V and Final Fantasy VI have been on Steam for a long time. It's if you type on the search bar Final Fantasy VI, Steam gives you two versions. It gives you Final Fantasy VI, which is 7483. I'll have to click that in a second because I don't know what that's for. That may be the Pixel Remaster Bundle. And then there's another one that says Final Fantasy VI, parentheses, old version.
Okay, yeah.
If you click that old version, there are some horrible looking sprites. It just does not look good. You can't even call it like a different style. It was basically the Android port, and it was meant to just be brought onto PC. It's Final Fantasy VI. It's the same story. But it's just kind of a weird UI, weird art. The pixel art, like the Super Nintendo version, still holds up today. I have the Super Nintendo Classic, and there's just an emulated version of Final Fantasy VI on there. All the art still looks fantastic. This version of Final Fantasy VI was released on December 16, 2015, and it will be officially removed, deleted, no one cares, but it's going to be removed from Steam this month because they are making room for the Pixel Remaster, which is still not as good as like the OG, and that's not me being like, you know, kids, get off my lawn. I promise you it's not. The pixel versions for Final Fantasy VI in the Super Nintendo were fantastic, but this new pixel remaster does some things better than the Super Nintendo, like the backdrops, the visuals, the color. A lot of it's going to look a lot better, but the actual pixels, they're slightly updated pixels, so they're higher resolution pixels, which some people will argue don't look as good. Yeah, so when you go into Steam and you just type in Final Fantasy VI, there is a price tag for $74.82, but that's a bundle. That's like the entire Pixel Remaster bundle.
Okay.
So that's going to be released, I believe, in August. But yeah, so it's finally on Steam. But the big news is the version that everyone hates, that's being deleted, which I couldn't be happier because that was a stain. And I did not care for it. I mean, it's the same game, right? But when I've got other options, I'm not going to play that version. So no.
Yeah, it makes sense. mm-hmm. I saw the $74.82 price, and I'm like, oh yeah, it's the bundle.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be the bundle. I wonder if they're going to sell it individually or as a bundle only. I've heard that they're going to sell them individually. But I don't know.
So they did 5 and 6 on the PS1. I think that was the anthology, right? Is this a port of that?
No. So they did 5. They did 6. Yeah, 5 and 6 was Final Fantasy Anthology. Then there was 4 and Chrono Trigger, which was Chronicles, and there is 1 and 2, Origins. Which was Origins. They never released 3.
Three I have on my 3DS, if I remember right.
Yeah, that eventually came out for the DS or the 3DS first, and then they got another release really soon after that with new translations and everything. So 3 is relatively young. I mean, like now at this point, it's like 10, 15 years. But it's relatively young. So yeah, getting all those finally. This will be the first time. I don't know if I'm right on this, but I think this is the first time we're getting like the pixel version of Final Fantasy III. Because the other versions we got were the 3D versions, which are good in their own right. But 6 never got that treatment, so I'm jealous. yeah, that's coming out soon.
Are you planning on replaying any of those?
Oh yeah, I'm going to do a perfect run on Final Fantasy VI. Final Fantasy VI has a really I never finished Final Fantasy V because that was a time when I was doing a lot of moving back and forth, and I left my PlayStation with my brother, and I just never had a chance to finish it. So I probably will finish Final Fantasy V. Final Fantasy IV and VI, I'm really excited to get back into. Final Fantasy VI specifically has a leveling up system that is you can really seriously break. You can shatter that game better than any other Final Fantasy game. But the problem is, in order to get to that point, the first, I'd say, like, one third of the game, you have to make really, really difficult for yourself. And it's like, really difficult. But then once you pass that threshold, you can really, like, you can hit the maximum health, 9,999, by, like, level 30. Like, depending on how you level up your characters and what they call a magicite or magic type, which are basically like these little gems you equip to your characters, and they have certain spells and stat increases associated with them. And there's one that's like plus 50% of your HP is a bonus. So if you have 1,000, then you get 500. And then when you level up again, you get 750. And then when you level up again, you get 1,100. So like within a few levels, you've already maxed out your health.
No. Oh, man. Yeah, look at that. You're a code breaker. Breaking the game. Yeah.
I'm going to do a perfect run on Final Fantasy VI. I'm excited for that. I have no idea when I'll get to it. kind of within that same realm, here's another game that's on my 2 playlist. Persona 4 Golden. Which everyone... I think everyone knows Persona 5. It kind of hit its most popular peak with Persona 5. And because the games have very, very little connection with one another, like there's some, but not a whole bunch. Less people know Persona 4 or Persona 4 Golden, but a good amount of people do because that series really took off at Persona 3, but Persona 5 just blew it up. Anyway, Persona 4 Golden is considered to be one of the best RPGs of the era it came out. Golden specifically does a ton of changes to the original game. I played the original game. I had never played the Golden version because it was released on the PlayStation Vita for the longest time. And then just last year, it was released for Steam. But as of right now, it has sold 1 million copies.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I'm looking at my Vita stack and I see Persona 4 Golden.
Have you played it?
I haven't. I picked it up for when I was traveling and then I just never got to it.
It's not a short game.
I know it's not. That was one thing they warned me about.
Yeah, any Persona game. So Persona 3, when I played that game took me 120 hours to beat. And it's not that they are intentionally making it like obtusely long, if I can even use that combination of words. I guess so. Yeah, Persona 5 took me like 100 hours. I forget how long Persona 4 took me, but these games are super long, simply because there's so much story involved, and you can't really like you have to get used to the fact that like this is a story based game. More so than other RPGs. And it will take a while to get through. So, yeah. That sold 1 million copies.
That's a ton of copies. Holy cow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Do you want to talk Cyberpunk next?
I feel like I have a lot to say about that. Let me get into one more story and then we'll do Cyberpunk. Because it just gets me so mad. It does.
I had that one open, and I only have one other one, which is the PlayStation games for next month. So that's what I was like, Cyberpunk?
Let's do the Cyberpunk last. Do you want to get into the PlayStation games that you...
Yeah. Yes. Made? Oh, the PS Plus games? Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. So those came out. So those will be available Tuesday, July 6th. So we get A Plague Tale: Innocence, which is... I'm trying to remember. Is that part of the dark thing that we were talking about last time?
I don't remember.
But... yeah, it's a game I think I've been intrigued about, so I'm be glad it's there to try out and add it to my collection.
That's the one where, like, it's pretty much based on the bubonic plague, right? And, like, you have to stay away from the rats. And I know there's, like, one really intense scene where, like, you have a torch to protect you against, like, a swarm of rats.
Yeah, it shows that in the picture, yep. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it says they struggle to survive against overwhelming odds, and they'll fight to find purpose in this brutal, unforgiving world. So, young Amicia and her brother Hugo in a heart-rending journey through the darkest hours of history, hunted by Inquisition soldiers and surrounded by unstoppable swarms of rats. So maybe one becomes Master Splinter or something. I'm totally maybe. Kidding. Totally kidding. Yeah, so I'll be curious to try that out eventually. The one, I don't know if I'm excited or not. I'm just not really a FPS player that much anymore, but Call of Duty, wow, Call of Duty Black Ops 4. So is the shortened of that Blops, is that what the people call that? It's like Blops 4?
That sounds like a monster that lives on the bottom of the Salt Lake. And it's just, it's the Blop. And it just sounds gross. Okay, so Blop, we'll call it Blop. I think that's the main fitting of it.
I can't remember if that's, I thought some people were like, Blops 4 is out. Like, just trying to be hip and cool, I think, but I don't know. But second is the fan favorite Zombies Experience, so that looks like that was probably included. And the one that's probably more interesting to me, that, and I'm really hoping it's like the All-Stars game they did a long time ago, like, which is like NBA Jam, but the WWE 2K Battlegrounds is going to be added.
For is that the one where it's like little tiny chibi versions of the wrestlers? And they don't even have their signature moves. It's like a button masher thing.
It looks like All-Stars to me, where it's more plays like an NBA Jam, where they like jump up in the air, do the pile driver, you know, after they spin around and, you know, do like a 1080, like Tony Hawk, and then come down and do the pile driver.
That sounds gross.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'll be interested to try it out. It was one of those games I'm like, as a somewhat wrestling fan, I haven't really watched much since the last year and a half. I watched like WrestleMania and a few other things, but just haven't been watching it like I used to. But I'd be curious. This is the game they put out instead of 2K21 or whatever last year, whatever. They skipped a year. They're like, oh, we're going to take a break after 2K20. Did not do well. And people complained a lot about it. So this was the game that came out last year. So yeah, it was one of those I was tempted at Christmas when it was like, I think I found it for like 25, and I was like, nah, I'll wait. And now I'm glad I did, because it's part of PS Plus.
Dude.
So those will be out there on Tuesday, and then, so Monday, this, I think this is going up after that, though, but so Monday, the Operation Tango, Rogue Squadrons, and, oh, what's the other one? Virtual Fighter 5 will be removed. Those, which, I did Operation Tango, we can talk about that later. I enjoyed that, that was fun. And I still haven't tried Rogue Squadron, so, or Virtual Fighter 5. But yeah, so that's your PS Plus games. I think they've come out with the Xbox ones, but I didn't grab those. But I don't have an Xbox, so I usually let Luke tell me what those games are. But yeah, all right, anything else you want to chat about before Cyberpunk?
Yeah, I got one more story. I talked about this game a little bit on the podcast.
Yeah.
The Trials of, so Legend of Heroes Trials of the Sky, and like I'm really really excited to get into it, but it's just a daunting task, right? For just a recap for everyone, Legend of Heroes is this massive series, and each entry in the series is a full-fledged full-length JRPG, but the story is dependent upon each of the entries. From what I understand, with a couple of exceptions, the story pretty much, like, if you pick up a game in the middle of a certain arc, it's not going to make sense. Like, the arcs are related to each other, but really, like, you have to start at the beginning of an arc to get the entirety of a story. So there are three arcs in the Trials series, and all of them, or rather in the Legend of Heroes series, like there were games prior to these arcs, but then this is when the studio was like, all right, we're going to make an epic. And this is kind of where everything starts off, right? So the one that I'm playing is Legend of Heroes Trials in the Sky. There's a 2004-2005 release on Steam. And it's a pretty good version. It's a little bit archaic, but it's actually very, you know, it's not bad for as old as it is. And so the series I have mentioned before, like the Trials of the Sky arc, is three game entries. And then there is the Trials of Cold Steel arc, which is going to soon be 5 entries. There's 4 games that are out, and now there's going to be a 5th game that's soon to be released. I think, okay, so we'll get into that. Anyways, there are in between games, there's an arc called the Crossbell arc, which goes between the Trials of the Sky arc and the Cold Steel arc. I think I've lost half of our listeners right now. there's 3 games.
We're drawing a diagram. We're drawing a diagram over here for it. So I'm trying to keep up.
Yeah, so there's a secondary arc in between the Trials of the Sky arc and the Cold Steel arc, and it's called the Crossbell arc. And very few people have played those games because they're fan translations. They were never officially released in the U.S. So what most people would do is they would play the 3 games in the Trials of the Sky arc, skip the Crossbell arc, and then go to Trials of Cold Steel. And even though Trials of Cold Steel will reference stuff from Crossbell, it was pretty much like, hey, we have to kind of just deal with it because we don't have those games released unless you went and played the fan translation of it. Well, it has been announced that these games are going to finally be released along with the newest entry in the Cold Steel arc. And these are all going to be released at different times. What this means is this massive series of 7 games, 7 full-fledged JRPGs, is going to increase to 10 for me. Like,
clear out your calendar.
Like, really, this is going to go from 7 games to 10 games really fast, okay? So, there is Trails from Zero. This is entry 1 of the Crossbell arc. And then its sequel, Trails to Azure, which is the 2nd game in the Crossbell arc. Those 2 games are being released, I think, in like a couple of months. I don't actually have an exact release date, but it was announced June 25th, and now it's, I think it has like an August release date somewhere. And then the newest entry in the Cold Steel arc, which is going to be like the end of the Cold Steel arc, called Trails into Reverie. I can't pronounce that word. But that's going to be like the actual newest entry. That's going to be released in 2023. That was just announced. These games are so massive. Okay, so if you actually go onto YouTube and look up What Happened, it's a series by a guy named Matt McMuscle, and he actually talks about the Legend of Heroes Trials of the Sky and like what it took to bring that series into the US because they're massive ordeals, and he will do a better job at explaining it. So I will defer our listeners or refer them to that video. It's like a 20-minute video if you're interested.
But, so is the next one Trails of Cold Steel 4? Is 3 the one that's currently out?
It's going to be Trails. So Trails of Reverie takes place after Trails of Cold Steel 4.
Okay.
So it's the 5th game in that series, which it has a different name, which is odd to me. But I guess like what happened was the publishers decided that they were going to use the fan translations and just officially release them. They took the fan translations as a base and then worked off from the fan translations. I don't know if there's legality issues with that, but essentially because the fan translations were famous enough, they're like, okay, we will release these in-between games, and we're going to use the fan translations because they took care of most of the work. At least, like, work off of those. So those will be coming. And I think these are remastered versions that are going to be coming out. So, Jamie, I've looked at this first game that I'm on. Okay? Mm-hmm. And this, I'm just playing. I'm still on first game. When we eventually get to the section where we talk about the games that we are playing, this is going to be one of them. Trials in the Sky. I'm supposed to be like halfway through. I'm about 20 hours into it, and it's supposed to be like a 40 to 50 hour game. And I still feel like I'm in the goddamn prologue. Like, and that's what I've heard too. I've talked to a couple of fans of this series. I'm like, all right, I'm willing to say that this is like a Doctor Who thing, right? Where it's like the first entire series season of the new version of Doctor Who sucked, but when you get to David Tennant and Matt Smith, it gets good. I'm not a huge Doctor Who fan, but that's kind of what this reminds me of.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone says the same thing. Trials of the Sky, the first game, that's like an introduction. You don't feel like you really get anywhere. So I'm like, all right, I'm willing to go through this game and then check out the next game and see where it goes. But the series stands as follows. This is all Legend of Heroes. So in order, Trails of the Sky.
Trails in the Sky. Yeah,
Trails in the Sky. That's the one I'm on. Then there is Trails in the Sky SC, which stands for Second Chapter. That's the next game. Then there is Trails in the Sky the Third. That's the third game.
Yep.
Okay. Then there is, that's the end of the Trails in the Sky arc. Then you begin the Crossbell arc. That's Trails from Zero. This is one of the games that's being released for the first time, like in the next couple of months. So Trails from Zero is a game that's added on to my playlist now.
So is this the Zero no Kiseki that I'm looking at in this list that I'm looking at?
I think that's the Japanese name. Yes, okay. Zero no Kiseki Kai. I don't know Japanese. Is that Zero no Kiseki? Yeah, I think it's the same thing. It was originally released in Japan in June 2013, but there was a PlayStation Vita version that came out before, so that it's had several different incarnations, but this game is finally getting released onto PC and the PlayStation 4 and Nintendo Switch. Oh no, it's going to be released in fall 2022. Oh, there's geez. That's a long time from now. Maybe. Holy crap. Okay. Yeah, I guess they were just announced and they're working towards it. Okay.
Oh man. Well, 2020 just, you know, was a blur, so you forget 2020 happened. There's times I'm still like, are we at 2021?
Yeah, we're halfway through 2021.
I know, isn't it crazy?
Yeah. Okay, so that's Trails from Zero. That's game 4. Game 5 is Trails to Azure. That's another one that was announced that gets thrown in the whole game list that I've got to play. That one was originally released in 2014. And it got a remaster on the PlayStation 4 in 2020 last year in Japan. And now an English release was announced for the PlayStation 4 and PC. And it will be released in 2023. That's a long ass time from now.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to consult people, but apparently like those games are kind of like important, but it's gonna take forever for them to come out. Then, okay, so that's 5 games in. Then there is the Trails of Cold Steel arc. So Trails of Cold Steel 1, that's game 6. That was released in 2018. Trails of Cold Steel 2 was released. Oh, wait, no. That was a PlayStation port. The original game was released in 2013, but there was a port in 2018. And then Trails of Cold Steel 2 was released in 2014 with a port in 2019. Trails of Cold Steel 3 was released in Japan in 2017, so now we're starting to get to more recent history. And a second port came out in 2020. And then Trails of Cold Steel 4, which is the most recent one, that was released in Japan 2018 and had a worldwide release in 2020. And then it had an English port release in 2021. That's how big these games are, right? Like, the Japanese game was released 2 years before the worldwide release because it takes so long to translate these games.
Oh, yeah, I can only imagine.
Yeah, and then the new game, another one that was announced in the same announcement, Trails into Reverie? Mm-hmm. That was released for the PlayStation 4 in Japan August 27, 2020. It acts as the epilogue to both the Crossbell arc and the Cold Steel arcs. So I don't know how it does that. I think that's where like the Crossbell arc and the Cold Steel arc kind of meet. And it's an epilogue. and a full-blown JRPG that acts as an epilogue. That will be released in 2023. It takes 3 years to do an official translation and release of this game. That's game 10. This series is massive. This is longer than Wheel of Time.
Yeah. I found that, I don't know if this is what you're using to, but I found this awesome RPGfan.com that's got this all mapped out that I'm going to send you in Messenger.
In the chat.
And we can maybe post this to our Facebook page as well. So,
yeah. And
I thought these guys just did a pretty good job, so I could kind of keep up with you. And I was trying to figure out where to best see this stuff. So, and this guy, I thought, did a pretty good job because I was able to keep up with you through that website. So,
yeah, it's this is really, really, really good. So, yeah, I'm going to have to go through it, but you can look at it. Like, the quality gets higher and higher and better and better. And so I'm really excited to get to the Cold Steel arc because that looks like that's starting to look really nice.
Man, they got this on PSP. I still have my PSP around here. You think that can actually find the disc?
Probably. So, funny story. My PSP, I had a Legend of Heroes game. This is all Legend of Heroes, right?
Yep.
I had a Legend of Heroes entry that is before Trials in the Sky. And I had that for PSP. And I was playing it, and I was like, I have no idea what the hell is going on. And now I realize that it was kind of like a practice series for this entire thing. So the version the game that I had on my PSP predates these games.
Oh man, yeah, I remember seeing this in stores. Now that I see the cover art, I was like, oh, I wonder if I should play that.
Yeah, it's these games aren't a joke. I wanted to bring these up, and the reason why I really want to talk about these and kind of like these releases is because JRPGs are a genre of their own. I don't know how many people in Utah would... I knew a lot of people that loved JRPGs. And this is kind of like, if you're a little bit tired of Final Fantasy, and you kind of want to really get into like the anime dish when it comes to JRPGs, but you want something like a world you can totally step into, this game was recommended at the top. Like, one of the reasons why I love the Wheel of Time book series so much is because it is so large. Like, I really feel like I'm stepping into a world. And since all of these games are kind of like different stories in the same world and these stories interconnect with one another, I feel like I'm kind of stepping into a real world versus a Final Fantasy game. You're stepping into a world with, like, you know, 15 cities and that's it. That's a small world. But this actually feels pretty massive. So,
gotcha. Yeah, don't look at Amazon for prices on these games. They are astronomical.
Oh yeah. It's very, very crazy
high. Yeah. Yeah, $350.
They even have like a timeline for the years.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So you can even go buy like the years of them.
Oh yeah. This thing I sent you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So like there's the year 12012 was Trials of the Sky 1. Trials of the Sky 2 was in 12. Okay. Yeah. This is good. This is really, really good.
Yeah. I found this and I was like, this is how I was able to keep up with you going through that.
Oh man. So, okay. So they have two different orders to play these games in. And Oh, geez. Oh man. Okay. Thank you for posting this.
Well, I just sent it to you, and we could probably post this on the Instagram and Facebook as well.
Yeah, and there's another question on this page. It's like, can I just play the Cold Steel games and skip the rest? And it's like, you can, but we absolutely do not recommend it. So it's
and
like,
then there's, should I play Trails/Kasiki? And
yeah, and it was like, they say Cold Steel 3 is essentially the Falcom, which is the studio's equivalent of Avengers Infinity War. It's where all the characters from all the stories come together, and it's like a boiling point. And then Cold Steel 4 is basically Endgame. Yeah, so it's, they're like, okay, this is, it's okay, so that's a good way to put it. All these games and all these arcs, they're pretty much like the phase in the MCU movies, the Marvel Cinematic Universe movies. I guess that's a great way to put it. I'm only 20 hours into the first game.
And that is credit to RPGFan.com. We got that from them.
Yes, this needs to go on the Facebook. Yeah, so I'm like halfway into Iron Man 1 on the series. So
why are you doing a podcast? Shouldn't you be playing games?
I might as well quit my job. I've got so much to do. That's the last thing I'm going to get into, because I want to rant and bitch about Cyberpunk.
All right, yeah. So the reason this came up is I found the article today or earlier that basically it's from IGN, and they're just saying for Cyberpunk 2077, CD Projekt Red is now quite satisfied, quotes around those, quite satisfied with the game's stability and performance. So
bullshit. And they're talking specifically about the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One versions.
Yeah, not the next gen consoles.
Yeah, and I have heard nothing but the opposite from like other people. So what is the reaction that you have to this news, Jamie? I want to get your take.
I just read the headline on this one, and I sent it to you just because I was wondering if it would trigger you.
Oh, yeah, I'm triggered. Because it's bullshit.
Right. I mean, because satisfactory, right? I mean, to them,
and that's
they're
the
like
CEO
it runs
saying a, that. That's yeah. the CEO saying that. This is the same bastard who said, sorry, I'm getting really wrapped up all of a sudden into it. This is the same idiot who was like, crunch isn't that big of a deal at our studio, and everyone believed him. And then Cyberpunk 2077 comes out, and it's a shit fest. And then workers come out and they start talking to like game reporters like, no, we've been crunching for a year and a half, and we have really been suffering for it. And then like, this is also the same guy who put out the marketing, and they were like, it will be released when it's ready, and it was not ready. And they were like, oh, the pandemic really hit us hard, we didn't know how far behind we were on it. You can't trust what this guy is saying, right? I haven't looked up any other responses to this. I mean, like, I'm sure Jim Sterling has talked about it. I'm sure other like commentators or pundits, or I don't know if they're really pundits, but like journalists talk about it. I haven't read any of the reactions, because they're all going to say the same thing. It's like, we do not trust you. And everyone that has these versions, they're all saying stuff like, but the game still sucks. I still have it. And I think the reason why he's bringing this up is because now, just recently, Sony has decided to bring Cyberpunk 2077 back onto the PlayStation Store for the PlayStation 4.
Right, which, yeah.
If you remember, it was taken down, right?
Yep, yeah. I think we talked about that last episode or the one before, that it was back up on the store.
Right, okay. So I think that's the CEO just trying to sell it. Here's the thing. Sony will put anything on their store if you jump through the right hoops. There are some pretty crappy PlayStation 4 games out there that you're just like, I need a mouse to play this game, because like, the game isn't really, it's not as bad as Steam, which you can really put anything on Steam, But the PlayStation 4 or the Sony store, they're just like, pay us. We don't care. You can put it on the store. And the reason why it got taken down was because CD Projekt Red threw Sony under the bus. And then Sony was just like, fine, we're taking it down, but it's going to be under our terms. And mm-hmm. they really suffered for it. So now that it's going back up, that does not mean that it's workable. I really doubt Sony has done any quality control on this game.
Yeah.
So I think this is him kind of like trying to sell it and like justifying it being back up on the store, which has a lot of people worried that he's going to make a call and they're going to stop focusing on the PlayStation 4, which, to be honest, is what they needed to do back in production. They needed to just focus on next generation and PC.
Yep.
Because this game was too ambitious for, you know, the previous generation, PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. They should have never focused on it. But they like,
yeah, I just find it interesting. The article is so short, but then the first few comments are everyone's like, yeah, they're like, it's just still crap.
Yeah,
they're we're not happy. Yeah, great that you say it's satisfactory, but it's still a sucky experience.
There is okay if our listeners go to Reddit, right? In fact, I'm going to do it right now just to make sure that this still works. But if you go to Reddit and you type in Cyberpunk game, that's the subreddit. So Cyberpunk game. Why is my keyboard not there? We go Cyberpunk game, and you click on top posts of all time. Okay, sorry, there's the post on there. Everyone loves making fun of this game. If you say top posts of all time, the very top comment is titled A Day in the Life of a PS4 Player. And it's got 109,000 upvotes. And it's an 18-second video. Were you following me? Did you watch it? Did you find it?
I didn't.
So you click it, and it's like the preview where it's like sky-high rate of violence and more crime than anywhere in the United States, but this is Night City, and it shows them like going through the subway and stuff. And this was like the first preview that they released when Cyberpunk was on the verge of coming out. It's where they did like the whole like cyber, like the EDM soundtrack in the background.
Is this the rush hour in the center of Night City?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm watching it right now.
And he looks out the window and he sees polygons for buildings. Oh man, this is the top rated one.
So do you know if this is on the regular PlayStation 4 and not the PlayStation 4 Pro? Because that's the other problem, right? Is you have the PS4 PS4.
The base level, the base console. That's mm-hmm. that's where the largest problems come from. The PS4 Pro handles it a little bit better. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the benchmarks are for that, but. That's the odd thing is like you can't really judge this on the PS4 Pro. You have to really rate it on the base.
Right. I was just curious. I just wanted to make sure I understood. I didn't know if they said somewhere. I didn't see where it said what it was playing on.
Yeah. So like, yeah, go to r/cyberpunk game, click on top posts of all time. And just, it's the very, very top post. It's A Day in Life on the PS4 Player. It's just, it shows polygons for buildings and it slows down, and then there's the PS4 crash screen that comes up. It's just great.
Where does that happen roughly? Do you know?
Oh, I'm just gonna link it. I'll link it into, and you watch it, and it's.
I'm watching it. I haven't seen a crash. I'm watching the.
Oh no, no. So that you're watching the original like preview, right?
It just says media.
Yeah, so you could stop that preview and just click on the link I just sent in and turn the volume up.
Okay.
It's 18 seconds.
Oh, there it is. Okay, yep.
Oh,
Yeah, I remember seeing this a long time ago. Yep.
Yeah, so that's the top one. This game, the CEO talking about how like he's quite satisfied with the condition of this game. That's him trying to sell a product. No one believes him for more than half a second.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, PlayStation 4, especially base version players, they're going to be left behind. And I feel bad because the PlayStation 4 base and PlayStation 4 Pro, those versions should never have even been released. If they were only focusing on PC, they should have been a PC release first. And that's not, I'm not a PC, I play mostly on PC because I have a game system that like can hold games and can run games like this fairly well. It was this system, I mean, rocks, but I'm not like PC is the best console. It's not.
Totally your style, man. Seems totally your style.
Yeah, right.
I'm kidding.
but they should have done only the PC version if that's where their focus went. And then go to the other versions as time went on and as more stability patches went. Because even the PC version, I talked about some of the bugs. Even the PC version was kind of junk. Eventually, I stopped playing it. I haven't finished the game. And I don't intend to finish it, which is really sad. Maybe in a couple of years. But yeah, that whole story really pisses me off.
And it's not even much of a story. It's all of like one paragraph as I just looked. And it's really that's all they say is he's pretty happy with it. He says it's satisfactory.
I think because it tells a story like on its own.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a story that requires no explanation. I think anyone that has followed this game can read that paragraph and their emotional response says everything that needs to be said. And that's no, it's not. It's not ready. You're just a company and a megacorp at this point. No one believes you. So it gets me really mad.
I know.
Oh man, so that's all I have to say on it. Do you have anything to add?
I don't think so. I mean, eventually I think I want to play it, but I just haven't wanted to based on just all of the horror stories, and I'd be playing a PS4 copy on PS5, so I don't know where I would fall in the I might get lucky and have no problems, or I might still have problems. I'm not sure.
Yeah. It might, I don't know. I, when you eventually get to it, I think you'll have fun. It's an okay game. It's just it should not have been sold the way that it did.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, we've talked about that quite a few times. All right, yeah. Man. So you want to get into what we've been playing?
Yeah, sure. You want to start?
Sure. So basically, I think I've streamed only one more episode of Horizon Zero Dawn since we recorded last, maybe two. But I've enjoyed the game, so it's been fun. I'm digging it. I did some of the like trial stuff that they got, and I'm pushing the story forward a little bit. So excited to kind of see where this game goes, since you know people have been raving about it for I think it's like 4 years now, and I've just never gotten to it. So been enjoying having like piecing together the world and what's going on and, you know, trying to figure out who everybody is and really what's going on, you know, cause it's like a fantasy world, right? Cause you're trying to figure out who can you trust and what people are good people and, you know, in your mind and who are good people in other people's minds. Right. Mm-hmm. So, enjoyed the combat and all that stuff. So it's been fun. Played a little bit more Pokemon Go Eevee. I did finish Silphco Tower and beat Giovanni there and got my Master Ball and Porygon. And I feel like I got one other Pokemon recently just given to me. Lapras. You get Lapras in that building. So
yeah.
And I finally got my Charizard, so it was really fun to be able to fly around on your Charizard instead of walking everywhere. I've been enjoying that. It moves so much quicker. And then other than that, I have another friend with a PS5, and we were able to play, and I got my platinum in Operation Tango, which we weren't sure what to expect. We just knew it was co-op only, and we both have PS Plus, and we're able to play that. So we put away some time. I think it's about 6 or 7 hours. And the best way to explain it, did you see the recent Spider-Man movies by Marvel?
I've only seen Homecoming. I haven't seen the other ones.
And that's fine. So basically, it feels like the one dude's Spider-Man and the other dude is his buddy. That's the dude in the chair. So you're really like 007, right? You have one person playing the agent and you're out doing stuff. There's only 6 levels. And then you've got your buddy that's the hacker. And you guys are working together to figure out what to do. So to get through the game, there's things I can see that he can't see. It'll be like, hey, I need an IP address to get to this. As the agent, you have to go figure out what the IP address is. Then he'll hack in. And then they're like, hey, I need this access code or something as well. And you go find that, you know, and you're working back and forth, trying to help each other out with clues and do some puzzles. It was really a lot of fun. So we enjoyed it. It was so to get the platinum, you have to play through both ways. One as the hacker and one as the agent. So it went a lot easier the second time because we knew the levels a little bit. But again, you're seeing it from a totally different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So again, we thought it was fun. And I'd recommend it if you have someone that's willing to play with you. So
nice. Cool.
Yeah, so that's pretty much all I've been playing. And then, Star Wars Galaxy Heroes, I'm finally farming Jedi Master Luke. So I will eventually have my second Galactic Legend. So it is good times there. Now we're just waiting to see if they've got some new stuff planned for us this month coming up. Because it's been a little quiet since they released Kenobi, but we do know another GL is coming for the dark side.
Cool. Nice, man.
But yeah, what else have you been playing?
So I finished a game, the Mass Effect 1. I do not plan on immediately going through Mass Effect 2. I'm going to start Mass Effect 2, but I'm not going to I'm not going to continue it to completion. I'm going to put the Legendary Edition down for a while so I can focus on other things. I think I'm just going to get through the prologue for number 2, maybe just kind of start some gameplay, and then that's it. I think I'm going to call it. For now, at least. I've picked back up Trials of the Sky. I had put that game down. We just went on a whole tangent with that game. But I've looked at my time for where I was at, and I have about 20 hours clocked, and the average time it takes for people to complete that game is 40 hours, with 49 hours average for, I guess, completionists, but like people that really want to like explore and do all the side quests. So I'm about halfway through it. I don't see how this game is truly just a prologue. So I'm kind of interested to see how, like, where it goes, what the main conflict turns out to be. So I picked that game back up. Fire Emblem, I have not picked back up. I know I'm at the end of one campaign for that game. I haven't picked that up yet, but I will eventually finish that game. But recently, I have, oh geez, there was a game that I was about ready to, oh, what was it? I totally forgot. There is a game that I was getting ready to pick back up and like continue. Oh yeah. So the Yakuza games, they had a couple of spinoff games, right? Mm-hmm. Lucas talked about the Judgment games, which that route is going to be the combat fighter that Yakuza traditionally is. Now that Yakuza has gone to a turn RPG base, the Judgment games are going to continue with their fighting, the real-time combat. They had a spinoff game called Fist of the North Star. Luke and I have talked about that a little bit. And we have, well, not we, but I bought Volume 1 of the manga for Fist of the North Star, and I just finished it, and I'm going to be reading it. I really enjoyed it. It's just a callback to 80s Mad Max, post-apocalyptic martial arts. It's just a lot of fun. So now that I have started reading that series, I feel like I can pick up Fist of the North Star and be pretty much caught up. So I intend to pick up Fist of the North Star, the Yakuza spinoff, and because they took that series and they wrapped it in with the Yakuza series. It's in the same world. That has been on my to play list for a long time since it was announced, and now I'm finally feeling like I'm familiar enough with Fist of the North Star to pick that game up and play it and know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So that game I will be picking up sometime, probably after I complete Trials of the Sky, and if I decide that I'm going to play another entry, or if I'm going to put that series down for the time being. It depends on how fast I can clear Trials of the Sky. Because, I mean, like, that means Mass Effect will be up in the air waiting. If I haven't finished Fire Emblem by that point, that will still be waiting. So it's like, okay, do I want Trials of the Sky to go on standby? Or, yeah, the Legend of Heroes to go on standby? Or do I want to knock out a game that has been on my playlist for a couple of years now? So I'm still deciding on that. But if I can finish Trials of the Sky within the next like 20 to 25 hours, yeah, I think I'll pick it up. I don't think it's going to be that. It'll be a nice diversion from the monotony that can sometimes be JRPGs.
Yeah. I don't want to fully go back into that, but I'm curious. A thought I had. How close is these other games to, like, say, a Dragon Quest or the Tales series? Do you know? Are they somewhat similar or totally, totally different?
I'm not familiar with the Tales series. I do know that though that's another famous series that a lot of people rave about. I don't know how long they go, but Dragon Quest is significantly longer than these entries.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, actually, let's pull it up. So Dragon Quest XI to finish. Let's see. Dragon Quest XI, time to finish. Or time to beat. The main story is 300 people were polled, and the main story took about 60 hours to complete. 380 people were polled for the main story plus extras, and on average, it took 90 hours to beat. But if you were leisurely playing, that could take 150 hours. And completionists would take about 186 hours leisurely, or the average is 120 hours. For all play styles, the average was about 90 hours. So it's a long-ass game. So that's Dragon Quest XI. That's another game that I'm going to play with a friend. Her and I were talking that that's a game that we've been wanting to play since it came out. We just haven't done it. So at the end of the year, we're going to kind of do like a book club thing and start it together and play it together. So Dragon Quest XI is like for the main story plus extras, average is 90 hours, right? Now, if we do Trials of the Sky, Trails of the Sky, time to beat is, it looks like 40 hours. Time to complete. There you go. How long to beat? It takes about the main story. Okay. No, that's second chapter. Second chapter is about 50 hours. And then main plus extras is about 70 hours. That's for the second game. The first game was 40 hours. So the first game's pretty short. So yeah, not as long as Dragon Quest. In fact, it looks like it's effectively like a half to two-thirds of the length.
Okay. Yeah. I just wonder if like the storytelling and all those are kind of the same. So yeah, it's just a thought I had. So just was curious.
So, but yeah, I will eventually pick up Dragon Quest XI towards the end of the year. But yeah, that's kind of what I'm on. And we are at 1 hour and 11 minutes. Yeah. I was like, hey, half hour. We'll do a half hour episode.
And I was like, we never do a half hour episode. No,
never turns out that long.
But no, it's been a good conversation, man. Glad to hop on and chat this stuff with you.
Yeah, definitely. Hopefully next week I'll be able to share that story when we have a little bit more participation here on the podcast. So, yeah. You have anything to close out with?
Nah, man. Just hope everybody enjoys the 4th, and hopefully everybody gets a chance to game harder.
Game harder. All right, guys. Happy 4th. You will be getting this a week from now, so it's going to be after July. But pretend that it is July 2nd when we're recording this. Happy 4th of July.
All right, take care, guys.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Eddie. I run a comic shop and publish my own comic strip.
And I'm Roger, and I run a comic shop and my very own Comic-Con.
And I'm Joe, a lifelong fan who does all the real work to make our show go.
Every week, we'll discuss the newest insider info that you won't get from your favorite comics and talk to some of our favorite creators and publishers.
So come take a peek behind the counter with Tales from the Comic Shop, part of the Geek Nerd Network.
Weekly on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more.
This show is part of the Geek Nerd Network.
Geek Nerd Network.
Find more shows like it at geeknerdnetwork.com.
This is Jen.